He's going to do in our lives. And I trust today that you've got your mind, your heart centered on Him, because He's the one that we look to today. He's the one that we adore. He's the one that we worship. And He's the one that has given us this wonderful place in our hearts and our lives that we have to worship and serve Him. God is good to us. Amen. Is there anything better you could do than serve God? I haven't found anything. Tell you, I've done a few things. Well, I haven't done a lot, but I've done a few things in my life, and not any of them compare in living for the Lord. He is a good God. I'm absolutely happy in Him. I don't have any complaints to give toward Him. I'm not disgruntled with God. I'm certainly not mad at God. I'm on God's side. He's on my side. We're in love with Him. It's a great relationship that we have. There's nothing that compares to it. God Almighty is a good God. Amen. How many brought your Bible with you today? Let's make our confession today. I think Dan is ready to go. Amen. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say it loud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Demons flee when you praise the Lord. And when the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you comes out through vocal praise, devils run. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he'll do what? He'll flee from you. Amplified Bible says he'll run in stark terror. Something's about to happen to him. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! The Lord is here today. He is here today. Thank you, Father, for being in this place. You are what makes it a house of worship. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you praise. Look in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I'm still there. Ephesians. I can't let go. Ephesians. Ephesians is where we're going to be looking at. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. And verse 10 is where we're going to be looking at. I'm going to talk to you again today as we get zeroed in, locked down, latched on to the authority of the believer. Somebody say authority of the believer. Having the authority of the believer. It's not, now listen, it's not, we'll talk more about it in a moment. It's not the authority. And hold this in your thinking. Just don't go wild with it. But it's not the authority of the anointed. It's not the authority of the God-blessed. Those are good things. It's not the authority of favor. That's good too. It's the authority of the believer. All believers have it. Every one of us have this authority. It's not something you're trying to get. It's not something you wish you had. It's not something it'd be nice to have. All believers have this authority. It was given to us by Christ, and if you are in Him, you are in this authority. And so keep in mind that everything I'm talking about and I share with you today has to do with your relationship in Christ, has to do with your connection with Him. Unconnected to Christ, outside of that relationship with Christ, you just ain't got much going on in your life. I'll tell you, just not much is happening there. I mean, I don't know what word you could put to it. You know, scraping the bottom of the barrel or what, I don't know. You just don't have anything going on. You got to be connected with Christ. But once you are, you've got this authority. Now, whether you've used it or not, know you've got it or not, understand what you've got or not is a totally different question. And that's why I'm teaching here this morning. To tell you something you've got, something you possess, something you already have. I like what Oral Roberts said many years ago concerning faith. He said, faith is not something you get, faith is something you have. And if you are a believer, it is something you have. You have authority. Somebody say, I have authority. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about it as we go on. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Scripture tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Somebody say all things in Christ. All things in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are part of the all things, because all things are in Christ. There's not something else that you need to go and get. And when believers talk about, well, I'm in Christ, but I just wish I had this, wish I had that, or more this, or more that. All those. I understand the heart's cry of people that say that. I understand that. I really do. But what many times we don't understand is this, that in Christ, you are already connected to all things. Because where all things at, all things are in Christ. Now notice, both which are in heaven are the heavens. Both which are in the heavens and which are on earth. In heavens or earth. In him. And so our key is that we are in him. Being in him, we are connected to all things in heavens and in earth. We know that on this earth there are authorities. Men have authorities. We have mayors, we have governors, we have senators and representatives and presidents in our country. Other countries have kings and prime ministers, and there are authorities of men that rise up in the earth. The Bible teaches us, and it's not our subject for today, maybe it will be, but not for today. In the book of Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was in prayer and seeking God, and the angel came to him and said, I'd have been here a lot quicker than these 21 days that it has taken, but because of this war that's going on in heaven, I was detained. And he said, in heaven, I was at battle with the prince of Persia, not on earth, but in the heavens, he was in battle. And so do you know, for everything that happens on earth, I believe something happens in the heavens. I mean, it's just a mighty strange thing. There's a connection between what goes on in the heavens and what goes on in earth. When Jesus was born, the heavens were lit up with the glory of God, and stars were seen that hadn't been seen before. And great signs in the heavens led wise men and shepherds to see things of God. Things happen in the heavens, and when they do, they also correspond, have corresponding actions that happen here on this earth. But so there are authorities in heaven. We know that God is there, and I call it a planet just because the earth is, and that's what he said heaven was. But God in heaven, if you want to call it a planet in heaven, God there, and God has cherubims there, and he has seraphims there, and he has Zoe, and he has living creatures, beasts, the King James Version, and all kind of wonderful creatures that fill his throne room in heaven. And from out of heaven go archangels, and from out of heaven go angelic spirit, and they move and do the workings and biddings of God on earth, a group called the Watchers, which are assigned to the earth that do things for God. And they're there. But also in the atmospheric heavens that are around planet Earth, there is an ungodly group that is there as well. Satan himself, who seeks to have God's throne and in his process now trying to attain it, though he shall lose. Everybody say amen. But he seeks to have God's throne, and he is doing his job ruling and reigning around planet Earth. And there he has his minions, his fallen angels, that went and rebelled against God with him. They are there with him. Not only the fallen angels, but the demonic spirits that are there. Who are they? If they're left from a pre-Adamite world, if they're left from whoever, I don't know, but they're demonic spirits that are there, that are with him. And so all of this ungodliness is working, and they filter down into the earth, and for every wicked king and wicked governor and mayor and president and everything else that you would see where wickedness reigns in the earth, you can look behind them. There's demonic spirits behind them. Might be the man's face that you see or the woman's face that you see. But behind that is a power and a spiritual force. And it's operating in the heavenlies. Was it so from the beginning? From the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, created man and Adam and Eve, put them on the earth. But Adam received the dominion of God, the authority of God, and Adam gave it away. He gave it to Lucifer. Lucifer gave it and got it, and he ruled and he reigned with it untouched by any other kind of authority until the time of the coming of Christ. And Christ came and he redeemed and he brought back that power that Adam had lost as the second man, the second Adam, as the Bible calls him. And now when we are in Christ, we share his authority. We share that power to rule and to reign and have dominion on this earth. It is not God's will that a child of God should be lorded over by the things of this earth. You and I are destined to reign. We are destined to rule. It is that's why it hurts so bad. Make it hurt so bad, little Anthony, you say. But anyway, that's why it hurts so bad whenever you lose. It doesn't feel good to lose. No. You weren't designed to lose. You weren't created to lose. You were not born to lose. You're destined to win. Somebody say amen. Now, notice verse 10, Ephesians 1, verse 10. Then in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together. Everybody say together. In one, not two, in one. All things in Christ. All things are in Christ. Both which are in heaven, the heavens, and which are on the earth, even in him. And so you know what? If everything is under the authority of Christ, and the fullness of time has come, and all things are gathered together in Christ, together in him, all things are there, that's where you and I need to be. That's where you'll find your victory. That's where you'll find your blessing. That's where you'll find your favor, in Christ. Now, the problem is this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. The problem is there is a wicked spirit that is loose on the earth. Satan himself, Lucifer, that great dragon, Slewfoot, some have called him, he is loose on this earth, and it is by his authority that Adam gave him over the earth, his authority, that he's trying now to do several things. One of them is he is trying to hide the fact that you and I have authority over him. I always used to like, and I just don't follow a whole lot of sports, but I watched a few things but over the years. But I remember back in Muhammad Ali's heyday, and I remember him seeing him coming into the arena. And as he came, he would come in with an entourage of people. And there would be somebody beside of him saying stuff like that, you bad, all this going up, you know. And Muhammad would come in, and he usually would be pretty bad till he met Joe Frazier. But no, I think they went several bouts again, you know, but Muhammad Ali, probably the world's greatest boxer. But he's coming in, and all this thing was this, he's pumping himself up to think he's got what Joe Frazier didn't know he had. And Joe Frazier put an end to that. And what the devil tries to do, you and me, he tries to make you think you don't have what you got. The devil's bad. That's right. He's bad. The devil, that's what he's saying. But they don't know he's met his Joe Frazier or his Jesus that is in us. His Jesus that is in us is who he needs to make. And so the devil has lied to you. The devil's lied to me. He's tried to pull the wool over our eyes and hoodwink us to think that we don't have what we have. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, if you want to know why people aren't saved, it's because the gospel's hid to them. They think a lot of things about the gospel that is not the gospel. They think all the things that the devil has told them the gospel is. Well, God's going to get you. You know, God's going to do this to you. God's out to do you in. God hates you. He's going to destroy you. All this kind of stuff. They think those kind of things. But he's hiding the gospel from them. Notice it says, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, see that God of this world, God of this world, God of this world? Don't you blame everything that happens on this world on God. Because it wasn't his doing. But the God of this world, little letter God, Lucifer, Satan, he's in charge of that kills, steals, and destroys. And so here, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them. Now, this primarily talking about the lost, which believe not. What? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. That's the last thing he wants. And let me tell you, you and I as a believer, when we come out of this sin-cursed world and become born again, the last thing the devil wants to happen is you to find out who you are in Christ Jesus. That's the last thing. Now, as long, and listen, and I'm going to say this, you got to just hear a little bit with some common understanding, common sense about things, and understand things, and I'll try to preface it, but the devil wants you out screaming and crying and praying and begging God, give me something. I didn't say not to ask God to give you something, okay? And I haven't said don't go to God with your petitions and prayer. That's not what I've said. But what the devil wants you to do is to be crying, screaming, and praying for God to give you something, which in reality, you've already got. And so if he can get you spinning your wheels, trying to get you to get more, and never use what you've got, then he's got you. And so if we're always looking to receive, praying to have one day in the sweet by and by, wishing one day that what they got, whoever they are, what I would get, and if only God would, and if I could just talk him into it, I know whatever it is I can do. Well, you know, all those kind of things. And we do sometimes religious things, and they're very good. And there ain't nothing wrong with reading your Bible. But if you're reading the Bible and with the idea that, wow, if I just read so much, then God will bless. Well, God's going to bless you. I understand that. But, you know, it's not going to do you any good until you believe what you read and recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. I've talked to some people get messed up. They get these religious spirits in them. And they read the Bible and they see stuff you ain't never seen. They talking stuff you ain't never talked before. They as messed up as, you know, two-year-old bicycle. It's incredible looking at them. And so you can take some good things and use it the wrong way and mess yourself up. I mean, think about it like this. You know, AJ talked about Father's Day this morning. Of course, I have a daughter as well, but he talked about Father's Day. Now, he's our son. But what if he spent an hour a day praying, oh, God, just let me be Leon's son. What if he prayed that an hour a day? What if he add fasting and prayer to it? What if he add giving to that? What if he a lot of good things? Nothing wrong with fasting, prayer, nothing wrong with giving, nothing wrong with praying. But he's already my son. Right? And some Christians sometimes they're trying to get what they already got. So look at it. The devil, and how's that happening? It's the devil that's trying to blind our eyes from that. Trying to keep us from not seeing what it is we already got. If I can just keep you away from what I know you got, everything will be all right, you know? Trying to blind your eyes to it. All right. Now then, look at Isaiah chapter 29. This authority, the right to decree, the right to command, the delegated rights that the Father bestows upon us, this authority is not something you can learn and don't go the other route and say something I can just be ignorant over. Either one of them won't get this authority for you. You can't learn your way into it. And how can I say it? You can't ignorant your way into it. Because, you know, churches do both things. I mean, bless the Lord, I had a wonderful church growing up. But I remember I had one particular pastor who talked about it like this. He thought, oh, by God, I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a college-trained preacher. I mean, he just was against education. He's against it. And he had some valid points, because I've seen some folks head off to college and come back and didn't even know there was God when they got back. So I, you know, got some valid points. But at the same time, God don't bless you just because you're ignorant. Somebody say amen. If it was, a lot of us would be blessed, wouldn't we? Anyway, all right. Let's get out of that. Isaiah 29, verse 11. And the vision of all is becoming to us as the words of a book that is sealed, like a book that you can't open, which men deliver to one that is learned. This guy's educated. Saying, read this, I pray you. And he said, I cannot, it's sealed. No, he's got education, but I don't know what it's saying. Can't read it. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that's not learned. Ignorant. So you got both sides here, the learned and the unlearned. Saying, read this. He said, I pray you read this. And he says, I'm not learned. I can't read. Can't read that book. I can't even read. Verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. In other words, there's some religious people. And listen, respect the house of God. I'm not trying to get away from that. I mean, you are the temple of God. Everybody say amen. But at the same time, respect this house. Don't just treat it as an ordinary place. Give some respect to it for sure. But there are some people that walk in the house of God and might stop back there at the doors right there and, you know, give three Hail Marys or this or that or the other and walk up to the front and bow and curtsy here and walk in right there and not say a word and all this stuff and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and think that because of those actions, that they are now close to God. But now notice what he said. Look what he said. He said, they have fear toward me, taught by the precept of men. Some people teach you to fear God, but it's not a godly fear or a reverence before God. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent man shall be hid. In other words, learning or unlearning, either way, learned or unlearned, knowledgeable or ignorant, has not got anything to do with you obtaining authority with God. And we've got a lot of people think, if I could just figure this out, I'd get it. If I could read this and read that, I would get it. But, you know, it just doesn't. It just doesn't. I have on my study in my home, I have thousands of books that I have. I have hundreds of books of people's life story. I have literally read dozens and dozens and dozens of books of people who are great men and women of God who we would say got it. And I've read how they got it and saw what it was they got, knew they had what they said they got. But when they told me how they got it, I still don't know how they got it. They all got it different ways. It was ways that were peculiar and special to them and their heart relationship with God. You don't learn these things, or you don't get it by ignorance. Don't go both ways. But now notice in 1 Corinthians, look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The Apostle Paul said this about the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You have to be careful with education, particularly the education that's in our world today. Because some of it is built and designed and created to take you away from God. My, how many, you see people that you send people away to college, or send people away to school, or even through our public school systems, and they come back atheists, they come back, don't know anything about God. And you better be careful when we send our children to school and send them to college, make sure we send them to a place that's honorable toward God, the best we can, and then also feed in some other stuff around that too, just to keep going with the right things of God. And I tell young people all the time, learn a lot, but don't believe it all. Learn a lot, but don't believe it all, okay? And so you have to separate that believing when it contradicts God's word. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, see that not your brethren you're calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Those folks that got super hyper educations, not many are called, not many. Notice what he said in verse 27. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and these things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, there ain't no, this is what I did and how I got it, and now look at me. And I'm going to sell my books and cassettes or tapes and CDs or MP3 downloads and sell all of this to tell you how I got it. And look at me, I got it. God doesn't want that. And for the people saying that they got it and want to sell you how they got it, they probably ain't got it. What they about to get is your money. That's what they about to get. And so notice here, he don't want any flesh glorying in his presence. Not what you got or what I got. It's what Jesus gave is what it is. I mean, if it comes to a part, look at me, look at me. No. Stay away from that. Ain't the real thing. Ain't the real thing. No flesh gets the glory in his presence. No flesh glories in his presence. Now, let me give you a few ideas about this authority as we sort of continue talking about it. This authority that God gives unto the believer, it is not the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And we need the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to be endued with the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost and have the evidence of speaking with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance of the Holy Ghost. All powerful, all important. Endowment with power, the Bible talks about. Great, absolutely, a power. But that's still not the authority. That's still not the authority. Some people think that someone has a full measure of the Holy Spirit as Jesus had, and that's not the authority. And that's good. We can talk about that another time. That's great, wonderful, but it's not the authority. It's not a special gift of the Holy Spirit. Some people are gifted with the Holy Spirit, and through the working of the gifts of the Spirit in their life can do tremendous and wonderful things. I mean, just incredible things. Pastor Afla Kao of AMI Ministries of South Africa is a prophet of God. God gave him a gift like I haven't seen before. And as he exercised that gift, it's like he knows the hearts and secrets of men's lives. It's incredible. But that's not the authority either. It's a great gift. It's a wonderful gift. But it's not the authority. It is not that when you spend a time in prayer and prevailing in prayer and see a prayer answered. That's great, and that's good too, but that's not the authority. You don't get this authority because you prayed for it. You don't get this authority because it was gifted into you. You don't get this authority because you baptized in the Holy Spirit. All those things are good, but that's not the reason that you get this authority. In other words, if you're waiting in life to rule and reign until you have a powerful measure of the Spirit in your life, and praise God for that, seek God for it, that's a wonderful thing, okay? Are you in life and wanting to be gifted and endowed by a gift of the Holy Ghost? That's good too. Are you want to have a great prayer life? Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it all. Okay, let's do every. But those things are not where you get your authority from. And if that's where you think you get your authority from, you will spend your life in all those endeavors, as good as they may be, seeking authority that you'll never get. It's not where we get our authority from. I'm going to show you where we get it from in Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Let's make just a little bit of a definition here of this authority. What is this authority? We'll get us straightened out real good the best we can here. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus had 12 disciples, and these 12 disciples he had in Matthew chapter 10 gave them power to heal the sick, cast out devils, deliver the oppressed, set free the bound, all kind of good things they did. They went forth and preached. But that wasn't all. There was just 12, and then he called together 70. As 70 working evangelists in his ministry. That's quite a big ministry. Now you know why he had Judas Iscariot, who was a treasurer, to carry the money and see about things. You got 70 evangelists working for your ministry, plus these 12 overseers and the disciples. That's a good group of folks there. Because they all got families, husbands and wives, and this, that, and the other, and yet they're under the ministry of Jesus. Some people look at Jesus and all they see is somebody wearing a robe on some mountaintop somewhere with dirty feet. That's all they said. But he was running a gigantic operation, a big ministry, and you see it. He had 70 people he sent out, commissioned them. Well, when they come back, this is what they say, Luke 10, verse 17. The 70 returned again with joy. Somebody say joy. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. If you want to know what authority is, you just about read the definition right there. Authority is when devils are subject unto us through your name. Authority is not when your fellow human being is subject to you. You can't force another human to be subject to you with the authority of God. That's not it. The authority of the believer is not that you say, oh, bless God, I've been believing God for so long, I'm going to win the raffle and things are going to go well. I'm going to win the lottery and it's way up there and I'm honoring God with it. In the name of Jesus, I decree I'm going to win $49 billion in the raffle. No, you don't have that kind of authority. Remember that verse we read a little while ago about the ignorant unlearned? Okay, but enough said. That's not the authority you got. That's not the authority you got. This authority has to do with the authority that Jesus has. That's the authority you got. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you under my wings, brought you into this love and the salvation I have, but you would not. He couldn't make Jerusalem repent. Jerusalem that kills the prophets. The word of God has been sent to you and you killed. He can't control Jerusalem. But he does have authority over devils and demons. That's the authority primarily that you and I are going to see that God has given us as we work our way through this. And that authority is enough. Because all the bad stuff going on in and around this world we live in has a whole lot to do with the devil. Somebody say amen. A lot of wicked spirits in heavenly places doing these things. And so there's where our authority is. Now notice it. Verse 17. They returned with joy, said, Lord, even devils are subject unto us through your name. Somebody, let me see if you got enough courage and boldness and faith to repeat this after me. Say, even devils are subject unto me through the name Jesus. Stir a little bit. Somebody say, even devils are subject unto me through the name of Jesus. You're like the centurion. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one coming. That's what the centurion said. He recognized that authority that Jesus had. He knew. He knew. They have this authority. Verse 18, he said to them, no big deal, guys. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You're talking about casting devils out of people? I was there when God kicked him out of heaven. There was war in heaven, the Bible said, the book of Revelation chapter 12, when he led that rebellion against God. I was there when that happened. Verse 19, and he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that that the spirits are subject unto you. What's that authority? Spirits are subject unto you. Everybody say, authority is when spirits are subject unto you. Spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The greater thing is not that you can tell devils to get out and they go. The greater thing is you on your way to heaven. That's the best thing. And that's the greatest thing. So other stuff's good, but the greater thing, that's where your rejoicing needs to be. Ain't no big thing on this other stuff. I mean, that just goes with the you know, property, with the real estate of it, so to speak. Now then, look at verse 19. The first word that you see there, behold, I give unto you power. You see that word power? That don't mean I give you muscular ability. It doesn't mean I give you the mental capacity. It doesn't mean I give you the knowledge. It doesn't mean I give you, and many times in the New Testament the word dunamis is used, which is inherent power of God, like a dynamo that is capable of renewing itself and never being exalted. That's not the power he's talking about. When he says, I give you power, the word is exousia. Exousia in the Greek. It means privilege. I give you the privilege to tread on serpents. You're privileged to do so. I give you the freedom. I give you the mastery. I make you the magistrate. I give you the superhuman delegated influence. I give you the authority, the jurisdiction, the liberty, the power, the right. Authority is the right to do it. The authorization to do it. You are authorized to do it. You have been authorized by a conferring power above you to do this and so. I mean, you know what? What if you were up here in front of Walmart and there was a truck out there and it caught on fire and a policeman was there, and the policeman said to you, run inside Walmart, get us a fire extinguisher and bring it out. And so you ran inside of Walmart, you got the fire extinguisher, you ran right through the place where that they collect the money from, out there and sprayed the truck and put it out. You did okay. But now run in and pick up a fire extinguisher when the truck ain't on fire and walk out with it then. You're going to go to jail. You know why? There was no power or authority authorized you to do that. And so God is like that policeman, but of course much greater. He's authorized you. He's given you the power, not dunamis in this resort, not exactly strength. Don't think that level. He's given you the okay. He's authorized you to do it. He's given you the privilege to tread on serpents and scorpions, which are form manifestations of devils and demons, to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now notice what he says. Over all the power. See that second word? You've seen power twice in that verse. The first time it has to do with authority. The second time it is literal force. You have power over or authority over the literal power of the enemy. Because the devil, in reality, ain't got no right to come against the children of God. He don't have the authority to do it. But he does have power. He does have a force. The devil was a cherub, the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah. He was a cherub that was exalted before God. He had wonderful power before God. And he's been kicked out of heaven with that angelic cherub power that he has. He still has it. But he can only exercise it against those who do not know their authority. I mean, when you know your rights and your privileges, you stand up for those. And though someone may come your way with an amount of power in their lives, you stand up in your authority and your power. No way. Not going to happen. There's a wonderful little story. Give me just a second to tell it to you. You remember the episode in Andy Griffith's show when Barney was going down the road and there's two guys, farmers selling produce on the side of the road too close to the town. Barney stops him. You guys got to leave. They laugh at him and run him out of town. Andy gives him a little talk and talks about who he is as the deputy sheriff of Mayberry. Tells him what the badge that is on his shirt means. Barney goes back out to the guys, two big guys, bigger than Barney, looking at him, walking toward him, intimidating toward him. Barney's telling him to leave, and they're about to jump on him, and Barney says this, "You guys are big. Ain't nobody lying. You're bigger, and you're bigger than me. But," he says, "this badge I'm wearing is a lot bigger than the both of you. And there's a lot more people standing behind this badge than what you see right here." That's how it is. The devil's got power. Ain't nobody lying that he don't. That's some stuff that he can do, and he can hurt some people very badly. He can. Until you recognize that you're no match for the devil, but with the authority that God's given you, it ain't just you standing in front of him any longer. It's the power of all of heaven that's in your heart and your life. It's the power of Almighty God. It's the power of Jesus Christ that's in you. And that's what you're bringing to bear on the devil and his dominion and his cohorts. It's the authority. It's not your power. It's your authority to use his power. That's what's happening. And that Greek word brings it out both ways. It's delegated authority. Listen, it is primarily authority in the spirit world, power over spirits. Read it again so you'll see it, verse 17. Return again saying, "Devils are subject unto us through your name." That's what they had. They had this power or this authority that devils were subject unto us through your name. Verse 20, spirits are subject unto you. Devils, spirits. It is not human beings. It is not a lot of physical force on the earth. If you go out there and you look at that car coming down the road, say, "I got power not to be run over by that car." And you go stand in the middle of that road, we're going to be doing your funeral just a few days later. You don't have power over that car coming down the road. Amen? Now, right on the other hand, if a devil-possessed maniac of a person charges toward you with a weapon, forget the weapon, it's the devil inside of him that's doing it, and you bind the devil on the inside, then you got authority. Then you got power. Okay? So recognize where it is. Power, authority. But listen to what it says out of the New King James. "I give unto you authority to trample." Authority to trample. That's what you've got. You've got authority. You got, now, that baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's power. We can talk about that a little bit later on. But here we're talking about authority. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The believer who has this authority, he has it because he is in Christ. You don't have it outside of, you don't have Christ's authority unless you're in him. And thank God we're in him. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to dwell on that a while too. But we are in him. Everything I am, everything you are, everything you will be, ever have, ever do, will only be because you are in him. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, being in him. Thank you for the privilege. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I pray a prayer in the morning. I thank the Lord God. Thank you for this life that I'm in you that I now enjoy. Thank you for the life that I now enjoy. I have it because I'm in you. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong. Now, do you know that God's not telling you to be strong? And we want to, you know, pick ourselves up and muster our forces and get real strong and that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a certain amount that we do in humanity that we need to do in our lives, of course. But God's not telling you to be strong. Go fight the devil, but be strong. Look what he says. Be strong in the Lord. And in your power? No. And in the power of his might. Your authority rests in his might, his power, his authority. That's why you can be strong, not because you can be strong by yourself. See, some of us like to think about things, and I knew a wonderful pastor many years ago that did this, and he had fasted and prayed a long time, and he really did. He had a lot of commitment, but when he came out of that fast and that prayer, he still didn't have the Lord's anointing in his life like he was wanting to have. And the reason was he was depending on that fast and that prayer to do something for him. And not recognizing that he didn't have to do anything. Fasting, prayer is good. All of us should do it. But he didn't have to do anything. He had to recognize that what it was, that his, he had to recognize his relationship in God, then God would do something in him. As long as you're trying to do it, you're probably going to fail. Oh, there's a few things in life. You might get a little done here or there that you and me work with our hands and do. I mean, you know, maybe a little bit here or there. But you know what? You're going to fail at the spiritual things of God as long as you're trying to do it in your flesh. You need his authority because that's what his authority is, power over spirits, devils, and demons. Now notice, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are strong in the power of his might. I am not strong in the power of my own might. You are not strong in the power of your own might. We are only strong in the power of his might. Somebody say, his might. Now, he says, verse 14, 11, says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You don't stand against the wiles of the devil in your own clothes. You stand against the wiles of the devil in God's clothes. You are in him. You put on the whole armor of God. He's in there with you. Both of you are in there together in heavenly places, the Bible tells us, we've learned in Ephesians. Verse 12, for, here's the reason for all this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is not a flesh and blood battle. There's so many things, and I look at the things we can do in life in flesh and blood ways when we think about standing up for what's right and what's wrong, when we talk about portraying our righteousness out into the community, out into the workplace, and out into the marketplace. We need to stand up and make a stand, and our voices need to be heard, and all of those things are important. I believe that they are, but that's not the bulk of where change is going to take place. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. Remember back in, and I might even been for this, might probably for it today, but remember back in days of prohibition and we voted in America that ain't nobody drinking anymore in America. I'm talking about alcohol. Ain't nobody drinking. So they made it against the law. What happened then? All the bootleggers came out, didn't they? And all the steals got created. And they started making all those things and all that kind of stuff. My dad made a steal a number of years ago. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell no federal revenuers. But anyway. It might still be on the back of my property somewhere back there. I pushed it off on somebody else's property and ended up owning it. But anyway. I think I dug a hole to finally get rid of it. To hide that thing from the revenuers. I seen their helicopter coming over. But anyway. But he built a steal. He and my cousin built a steal. And gas prices went up. When gas prices went up, as long as gas prices, and this was back in the 70s, as long as gas prices went up above $2, you could make money, you could buy enough corn to put in that steel and create that alcohol to drive your vehicle with. But when the gas prices went back down, then it cost more to make the alcohol than it did to, you know, so you couldn't use it in your car then. All you could do then was drink it. But anyway, what happened during Prohibition times? What happened in Prohibition times? People started making that, and they started running alcohol everywhere and making and they started selling alcohol all over, underground, everywhere, okay? Now, I'm not trying to give you a general overall argument against things being legal or illegal, okay? As for me, I just want it all be illegal. That's me. But anyway, that's what happened. And so the thing is, flesh and blood said, you ain't drinking. The other flesh and blood said, I am going to drink, too. I'm going to build me a steel. I'm going to buy it from somebody. We're going to get it some way, right? So flesh and blood can fight flesh and blood, but it don't change flesh and blood. Not a flesh and blood war that we're in. Notice what he said. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Notice these four groups of spirits. Principalities. Against powers. There's that word again. That word powers is authorities. There are ranks of evil spirits that are in the earth that have different missions and goals and different commissions from Lucifer right on down to that imp on this earth. And they are assigned and delegated their authority by Lucifer himself. And that's where they get their authorities or their powers against rulers of the darkness of this world. Why is this world so messed up? A lot of commentators talk about rulers of the darkness of the world being the mindset of people. Why are people's minds just absolutely going nuts? Crazy people. Sheila and I were doing something the other day, and I said, Sheila, help me. I said, I live in a world of crazy people. Help me. Get me out of this place. I mean, why are their minds so messed up? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, New King James says. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And the Bible says we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Get the connection here. Something is happening here that ain't got nothing to do with flesh and blood. It's got to do with your being in Christ Jesus, your spiritual relationship in Him, and recognizing who your battle is against. It is not against the flesh and blood. It is not. That's why that when Jesus was on earth and the deaf would come to Him, dumb would come in, and He cast out devils. And they start speaking and start talking. Speaking and talking. Spiritual wickedness was the problem. The man that was bound of the devil. In fact, one of them said there was two men that were bound in this cemetery, like bound with chains and couldn't hold them. And Jesus cast the devil out of them. Then they got in the right mind, put on clothes, started acting, living and walking right. See? Something else is going on. It wasn't just the chains couldn't hold them. That's flesh and blood. Flesh and blood said, we'll stop you. We'll chain you. But then the devil in them empowered the flesh and blood they had, and they broke the chains. Couldn't be bound with chains. So chains didn't stop them. But a word from Jesus did. A word of authority. And I said, I wish I could get him to speak that today. He has. He is. And if he speaks it, the only way he's going to speak it is in you, because he's in you and you're in him. That's why he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, it'll be done unto you too, because you're in him. The reality of being in him, that's where your authority resides, in your in him relationship with him. Notice 1 John. I'm going to close it here. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to see something. And all in regard of the spiritual wickedness in high places, the demonic spirits, evil things that are out there that are not flesh and blood, that are the problem of those people that do not know their authority. When you do not know what authority you have. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Somebody say spirit. Believe, you know, spirits preach and they teach and they inspire men and women today to preach and teach. How do you think it is that the Bible says in 1 Timothy, it talked about those spirits, doctrines of devils that were out there. And those doctrines of devils would forbid people to marry. Perversion. Forbid people to eat certain kind of meats. Perversion. Different things they talked about. How is it in earth today that you have denominations and people who stand up? It's the most wild thing I've ever seen in my life. And people stand up and say that they are morally good and they are for loving, wonderful, committed families and relationships. And this is our morality, that you should be able to love who you want to love and marry who you want to marry. Does that include marrying my dog? I love my dog. You love your dog? Somebody say amen. But their mind is like that. What is going wrong with them? Churches preaching and teaching that garbage. What in the world is going on with them? Something in the heavenlies is affecting their mind. The Bible says this in the book of Romans, that their minds have been turned over to a reprobate mind. Their minds have become perverted, reprobate. And therefore, when you talk to someone with a reprobate mind, they don't understand. To them, you are the nut. To them, you are the person who is foolish. To them. Why? Because their mind has been darkened. It's the most amazing thing. And this stuff has hit our country like you just wouldn't believe, with a supernatural speeding up force that has took place in the last several years. It's the most amazing thing you can see when you study the history of America. And you see how the mindset, you can see it now. You can see the mindset of you and I that maybe have come up in the 60s and 70s, maybe early 80s. Contrast with those that were born after the 80s and look at the two ways of thinking. A different world has taught different things to us in our lives. A different world is out there. It's a world that's under this darkness that's in the earth. And the Bible tells us, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything that the devil tells you. Look at verse 1 again, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Notice he said, don't believe every spirit. Now, verse 2, hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit, verse 3, that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. There is spiritual wickedness in the earth right now that you will not and I will not defeat flesh and blood ways. It will only be defeated when we rise up in our authority. Because that's what our authority is. Power over spirits. And if you try to wage war against the spirit and you're waging it in the flesh, you ain't even got a battle going on. You're not winning. It's not even happening. Devil's standing back and laughing. Now, does that mean that in my flesh I'm just going to not say things and not do things that I feel right and just to say? No, I'm going to do those things. But my source of belief and my power to know that I will accomplish this is only going to happen in the realm of the spirit, because that's where my authority is. I don't have authority to make somebody physically do this or physically do that. But I do have authority in the realm of spirits and the spirit war that is going on right now. Right now. And that's what John says. There's a spirit of Antichrist. Everything that is against God's spirit. And against God's spirit is in the earth. And that against God's spirit, you need to be careful of that. And he's trying to test it, make sure that's what it is that's going on. And he says, and when you do that, recognize this, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. All these spirits he's talked about in every single verse, from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, now to verse 4, you've overcome them because greater is he that is in you. Somebody say in you. Or in him. Or in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is my reality of the victory of my battle. It is when I recognize what is
in me, which is Christ is in me, Christ is in you and I, the hope of glory. And as Christ is within us, that's the power that we have to overcome the world that is against us. The world of what? The world of these false spirits. Every one of us need to guard our minds that we don't allow the devil to lie to us and begin thinking things are okay and things are nice and isn't it wonderful and those kind of things that we see in life. And just everything's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. You know, that kind of thinking that's in the earth, or somebody can live this kind of life or that kind of life in the earth, and they're okay too. They're all right. It's just their choice. Well, it might be their choice, but it is not God's decree for their life. And a lot of stuff like that's going on the earth, and all the way it's going to be defeated is not by arguing to you each and I turn all kind of different colors, but until we get in the realm of the Spirit and begin to exercise our authority. We're going to talk about it a little bit more as we go into this. Your authority primarily rests and resides within you and your relationship with God and what affects you. And so this stuff that comes against you and around you, you have authority in your life. The stuff the devil does to Christians that Christians don't have to take. You don't have to take that. Amen? You don't have to allow everything just to be run rampant in your life and the devil just run you ragging and being on your back day and night. You don't have to take that. And you and I, the only way we can stop that is when we rise up in the authority that God has given us. And what we have to know is that we do have this authority in Him. And we're going to look, and the next time we come together, we're going to talk about the source of this power, the source of His authority, and how it is attained in our life, and how we exercise in the world that we live in. So anyway, we're going to see it happen. Stay with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord. I'm not hold you too long here on this Father's Day. God Almighty, stretch your hands forward toward heaven. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. That name that is above every name. That name that every tongue confesses, every knee bows, that name that is above all names, I come to you, Father. Therefore, you hear my prayer, you hear my decrees, you hear my words this day. In the name of Jesus, I am for you, God. I am on your side. I am in you. You are in me. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful authority that you've delivered unto me. I receive it in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the devil is no match for you, God. And because that I am in you, God, the devil is no match for me. And I give you all the praise, all the glory, that by your blood I prevail, by your name I overcome, and in the name of Jesus I walk in the victory that you've given me. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Turn to somebody and say, you have got it.